Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome to a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. Right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. I'm happy to be along with you on this Tuesday afternoon as we talk both local and national sports. We're going to mix it up today. A lot of local, and some national as well. In fact, we got a packed show. Two guests lined up to join us. We're counting down the days to the start of the high school football season. We've been talking a lot about Carbon and a lot about Emory over the last month here. In anticipation for the football season, we haven't talked much about their opponents. So we're going to bring in a good friend of mine, Robert Lovell of Mid-Utah Radio. He covers the 3A South in depth. I'm going to take a look at some of the teams that we will be seeing in the state tournament and even in the regular season, because coming up this Friday, Emory, they get Richfield. That's a 3A South squad. Carbon, they get Manti. That's a 3A South squad. Union, who is in the north with Carbon and Emory, they will take on Summit Academy. So we got three games as the regions cross over. So we're going to talk to Robert Lovell about that. And also, we haven't talked MMA in a very long time, but there is a fight coming up that is so interesting. UFC 229 as Khabib and Conor McGregor. McGregor is returning to the cage for the first time in almost 2 years. Larry Pepe, who is an MMA expert, makes appearances all over the country on nationally syndicated shows, always kind enough to join us to talk some MMA, so that's coming up in just a bit on the show. Now, with that being said, we'll take a look at the national sports headlines, and it has been a relatively slow day, but there is plenty of Major League Baseball to dive in and talk about, including some day games. The Milwaukee Brewers blasting past the Chicago Cubs earlier today, 7-0. Jose Quintana picks up the loss. He's now 10-9 for the Cubbies with a 4.4 ERA. We take a look at some of the games that have not yet to start coming up at the 5 o'clock hour tonight. We get the Mets and the Orioles. The Yankees will play host to the Tampa Bay Rays. The Yankees right now at 74-44. Things are okay in New York. It's not bad. The Red Sox, however, have developed an 11-game lead over the Yankees in the AL West. They'll take on the Philadelphia Phillies at 5:05 tonight. We get the Tigers and the White Sox at 5:10. The Indians will travel to meet the Cincinnati Reds. We get the Braves and the Marlins at 5:35 to close out the 5 o'clock hour. 6 o'clock, we get the Diamondbacks and the Rangers. The Twins will play host to the Pirates. The Rockies, who are closing in on both the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks in the NL West, will take on the World Series champion Houston Astros. Justin Verlander will take the ball tonight for the Astros. 6:15 tonight, it's the Blue Jays at the Royals, and the Cardinals will play host to the Nationals. 8 o'clock hour is full as well. The Mariners will take on the Oakland A's, the streaking Oakland A's. We get the Angels and the Padres at 8:10, and in the nightcap, game two of a series between the Dodgers and the Giants. The Dodgers blowing another late-inning lead last night. They need Kenley Jansen, and he's not walking through that door anytime soon. That's a quick look at what's happening in the national sports front. Again, very slow, pretty much some baseball tonight, and that is about it. But we are going to talk again some high school football and some MMA. That's coming up on this Tuesday edition of Drive Time Sports, right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Hey, this is Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, number 30. And you listen to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 7:50 AM.
Counting down the days to the season opener for high school football, it's going to be a big weekend. Friday night, right here on KOAL, the Emory Spartans will take on the Richfield Wildcats. That'll be a rematch of last year's season opener and also the opening round of the 3A state championship tournament. And also on our sister station, KRPX 95.3 The Peak, we'll bring you Carbon High School football. It'll be the first broadcast of the Dinos on KRPX. And they'll take on the Manti Templars. Looking forward to that. We are going to talk high school football, at least for the next segment, with a great friend of mine, Robert Lovell of Mid-Utah Radio. Robert covers the 3A South. We, of course, cover the 3A North right here on Drive Time Sports, so it should be an interesting conversation. We'll talk about the 3A South. Robert, a pleasure as always. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having me, Jordan, and I appreciate the kind words there. Looking forward to a great football season coming up this year, and I'm looking forward to getting a little perspective from you on the North region as well.
Yeah, you know, I think it's going to be a very interesting year, to say the least, and I think we can agree on one thing. Last year, the parity in the 3A North and the 3A South that we had, it was very thrilling football, Robert. If I go back over the past 6 or 7 years, it was probably the most closely, what's the word I'm looking for here? It was the most competitive that we've had the 3A classification in quite some time.
Yeah, I think I would agree with you on that point. There were three teams in the South region in the semifinals, so three out of the four, but you're talking about a one-point win of Juan Diego had over Grantsville in the quarterfinals just to get to the semis, and they, of course, ended up winning it all after 2 1-point wins in the quarters and semis, and so a team that wins it all barely scraped by earlier in the state tournament. And I agree. I thought it was a lot of parity in the classification last year. And, you know, you look at a team like Manti, who was the 5 seed last year out of the South, going up and upsetting the Judge Memorial out of the North. And then you had Richfield, who finished higher in the South than Manti did, but they drew Morgan and couldn't quite get past Morgan, who ended up going to the state championship. So, yeah, it was definitely a fun classification last year. And I personally think it's going to be pretty similar this year.
And I have to say I was wrong, and I've said this multiple times on the show. I was wrong about the 6 classifications. I wasn't high on it when the announcement was first made, 2 years ago. But I'll tell you, it's worked out, I think, perfectly across all classifications. I know you and I were going back and forth during the baseball state tournament. It was the same thing. I mean, the 3A classification was so competitive coming down to Grantsville and Carbon. I think it's been great for rural areas across the board.
I do. I think the 3A classification, it has been a really great benefit, too. I think it's made it, in all sports, great competition. There's not a big disparity. And so I think in 3A it's worked out really well. The 2A classification, to me, the quality of play is just down. It was this last year. Now, in football, it's different. We've been in 6 classifications for several years now, so taking football out of it, it's a little different. But in other sports, I feel like the 2A classification is down. But I think for 3A specifically, it's really been a great thing.
Yeah, no question about it. Robert, let's dive in and talk about the South here for a moment. I want to start with JUAB this year. This is always such an interesting team because Mike Bowering, one of the top coaches in the 3A classification, I don't think anybody can argue that, going into year 15, got a fantastic record. I believe it's something like 110-50, somewhere around there. I mean, he's been fantastic as head coach of JUAB. When you look at what this team has been able to accomplish over the last 7 years, it's been phenomenal. However, they haven't won a state championship. And this year, only 3 returning starters on the offensive side of the football, 3 returning starters on the defensive side of the football. What do you think of JUAB going into 2018?
You know, we had our media day for the 3A South region this last week, and talking to Coach Bowering and the other coaches, they were still picked to finish second, tied for second in the preseason rankings by the coaches' poll and the poll that we use from the coaches. And so, obviously, there's people that look at that and say, you know what, I know they've only got a few returning starters, but it's still a team that has shown over those last 7 years, as you referenced, that they are a very good football team, and Coach Bowering is going to have them prepared. You know, there's a few things that I like to look at, of course. One is the quarterback coming back. That always helps, and Easton Wright, who was the quarterback last year, is coming back year 2 as a starter for him. And so I think you got some great leadership in there from him, and I think he was a starter on the basketball team. And that basketball team had a great state tournament run to get to the state tournament and then nearly had 2 big upsets in the state tournament. And so I think for me, when I look at guys like Easton Wright, he learned a lot over the course of the last year. I think he's going to provide great leadership for the JUAB Wasps this year in that quarterback position. And so even though they don't bring back a lot, I like who they bring back in guys like Easton Wright. They're still going to be big on the line, which they've had great success with in recent years. And I think Cade Bowering is Coach Bowering's son. He's going to be an excellent player runner in the backfield this year. I think his older brother Peyton was a phenomenal running back. I think Cade's going to be even better over the course of these next 2 years. So I do like who they have coming back. I think JUAB's still going to be a team to reckon with in what I do think is a fairly wide open 3A this year.
Let's talk about Juan Diego, defending state champions. Here's a team, you mentioned it. I mean, they scraped by in the early going of the state championship tournament. They go 11-2. I mean, we're talking about a team that was 4-1 in the region, so it's not as if they were the most dominating team throughout the entire year in the 3A classification. But they do have six returning starters, and John Klosmo, who's been there close to 20 years now. I mean, this is really one of those teams that you always have to pay attention to. We don't get a lot of experience against Juan Diego. Carbon, of course, fell to them in the opening round of the state tournament last season. But all in all, Juan Diego, on paper, looks to be very good, outside of the fact that they had to say goodbye to Zach Hoffman, who was just one of those do-it-all type players for this team.
Yeah, he was an excellent quarterback, and I know talking to Coach Colosimo last year in our media day with them, he said that Zach Hoffman could be a Division I receiver, but he's taken the sacrifice to play quarterback for us. And he was just a phenomenal athlete. And they've got some key players back. They definitely lost a lot, but Juan Diego loses a lot every year. And I think that's been the key to Coach Colosimo's program, is that they play seniors primarily, and they just plug and play. When someone graduates, when someone goes down, they bring in the next guy, and they're ready to go. And, you know, we talk about it a lot, especially in rural Utah, the recruiting aspect and those sorts of things. But I think Juan Diego, do they recruit? I believe they do, but I think they recruit freshmen. I don't think they recruit juniors and seniors like we see other programs do, but because talking to the group of seniors, those captains that we had at Media Day this year, they talked with the fact that they've been playing together since fifth grade in the Juan Diego program. And so this is a group of guys that have been together a long time. They've learned how to win under Coach Colosimo and with these previous programs. To me, just because of that, you still kind of have to pencil them in as the favorite going into the season, even though they might not have as dominant of a team as they've had in other years.
Okay, well, let's talk about another squad. You bring up the whole recruiting aspect, and I agree with you 100% with Juan Diego, but let's talk about Summit Academy here. They go 9-2 last season, tied for first in the South with a 4-1 record, lost to Juan Diego by 1 point in the semifinals. Les Hamilton's in his third year as head coach. We talk about returners. Offensively, it's going to be pretty much similar for this team. I believe they have five or six returning starters. Defensively, though, it's going to be a little bit of a different look for Summit Academy. Can they match the power of Juan Diego this year?
So when I've talked to coaches in the South region from last year, they talked about the fact that that Summit Academy's JV team last year was better than most varsity teams they faced. And, you know, you can speculate into that all you want. Many of them speculate the fact that, well, that's because they've got all these transfers that have to sit out a year of varsity football, so they're just playing JV. And so those guys are all here this year. The quarterback this year, we thought we knew he was going to be the quarterback. He was the quarterback for the JV team last year. Well, he got beat out by a move-in. Kyler Briggs is going to be taking that role at quarterback. Coach Les Hamilton, very, very high on him, likes what he sees out of him, and he's looking forward to it. They got Talmadge Brown in the backfield, as you talk about their offense. His goal is a 1,500-yard season rushing this year for Summit Academy. Defensively, though, that is going to be a crucial thing for Summit Academy, and I do agree with you on that point. And that'll be interesting to watch and see. But talking to the other coaches in the region just about what they saw out of their JV team last year, I think they're going to be very strong, if not stronger. In fact, you know, I said that you have to put Juan Diego as the favorite just because they're Juan Diego. They've been there. This is what they do. Summit Academy, to me, is that top contender to knock them off. I think Summit Academy, very good team this year. I like what Coach Hamilton is. I think he's a good coach, and I think he's got a good team this year to possibly try to get the win.
Again, we're being joined right now by Robert Lovell of Mid-Utah Radio as we break down the 3A South here on Drive Time Sports. Robert, let's move over and talk about the Richfield Wildcats, because I mentioned Zach Hoffman. So if I'm talking about elite athletes, am I crazy to believe that Emmett Hafen may be the best athlete in the 3A classification this year?
I think you're right on. In fact, I've been saying it for the last 6 months that Emmett Hafen, to me, is the best athlete in 3A. Doesn't matter what sport it is. I thought he was the best baseball player in the 3A classification last year. And he's, to me, a phenomenal athlete. Unfortunately, Richfield couldn't attend our media day this year because of the late coaching change they had. But multiple coaches brought up the fact that you have to be ready for what Emmett Hafen brings, both with his arm and with his feet.
I think we saw this last year for Emory in the opening round of the state tournament. I mean, they had outplayed Richfield pretty much in multiple aspects of that ball game. And I know it came down to the wire. It was one of those games where, it, you know, going into the fourth quarter, you really didn't know what direction the outcome was going to go. But for me, the difference on that field in that particular game was Emmett Hafen. It was almost like trying to nail Jell-O to the wall. Emory had no answer for Hafen. And that was the case multiple times last year, I know, for squads going up against Richfield. Happened twice to Emory.
Yeah, it very much did, and you're exactly right. Emmett Hafen is one of those guys that, he can sit back in the pocket, but he's probably more comfortable getting out and scrambling. And when I talked to the previous head coach for Richfield, Eric Thorson, who I thought was doing an excellent job getting the Wildcats football program up and going strong, and he would talk with the fact that in practice, Emmett would be running a play, and as he's dropping back or as he's rolling out to look for a receiver, he's constantly pointing to where other people need to be, and then he delivers a perfect pass. And so this is a kid that has great vision. He knows not just where he needs to be, but he knows where his line needs to be. He knows where the running backs need to be. He knows where the receivers need to be. He's one of those guys that knows every position on the field, or at least from his perspective, knows where they need to be on each and every play.
Robert, we got a couple of other teams we have to talk about. The Manti Templars, Coach Cole Meekum entering his close to 20 years as well, if I'm not mistaken, as head coach of Manti. I mean, obviously, this is a team that's kind of been the pillar of consistency over the last little while. Carbon will open up the season this year against Manti. 6 returners on offense. They have 5 returners on defense. I had an opportunity to watch Carbon practice last night. They were preparing for Manti and what we may see at quarterback with Kyle King. Tell me about the Manti Templars.
I'm gonna come to Manti in just a second. I do want to say real quick on Richfield, I do think they're a dark horse this year. They have a late coaching change, so it might take a little bit to get their new offense in under new coach Jason Hitchens, who coached at schools like Mater Dei and Corona Del Mar in Southern California. But I do think they could be a dark horse in the 3A classification. They didn't lose much last year, finishing 4th in the region last year. And then again, but they might be a slow start with the late coaching change. All right, I just wanted to make sure I mentioned that about them. But as far as Manti is concerned, you're right. Coach Cole Meekum, you know you're going to get a team that is prepared to play week in and week out. They are going to be there. They're going to be ready to go when it comes time for the game Friday night. But they are a little down this year. You know, they were a little bit down last year, but I think they're down a little bit more this year. They did come on strong at the end of the season, getting that big win over Judge Memorial in Salt Lake in the playoffs last year. And I know they're hopeful and confident that can carry over into this year. But I also believe that other sports help things carry over into other, success in one sport carries over to the next. You saw a state championship run in basketball. You saw them have probably the best run in the 3A state tournament for baseball this year, a team that came out of nowhere, losing record, finishing 3rd in the state tournament for baseball. And I think a lot of those kids, I know a lot of those kids that have been those other two sports are back and ready to go this year. And I think that could help propel them this season, even though they're down on numbers. I like Travis Thompson. He had a great basketball season. He's one of the guys they're really going to lean on this year. As you mentioned, Kyle King at quarterback, they felt like getting him back halfway through the season last year, the end of the year, was a big part of the reason why they were able to get better as the late season came in. Dallin Rasmussen had a great baseball season. He's one of those guys you're going to count on. But I love Cade Braithwaite. Every answer he had at our media day this last week was phenomenal. He is just ready to get out there and go. I like him on the interior line, both offensively and defensively. I think he's going to be a force for any offensive line to handle when he's playing defensive tackle there. So I like what Manti has. They're just not real deep this year, but I think they're going to be another team that could make some noise in 3A.
Well, and let's be honest, anytime we talk about Manti, it doesn't matter what sport. Nobody wants to play Manti, Robert, ever.
Right. You're right. That is true.
We got one more team to talk about. We can mention North San Pete. Did not win a game last season. 6th in the 3A South, 0-5 in region play. Lost to Union 42-20 in the opening round of the 3A state tournament. Rhett Byrd going into his 3rd year as head coach. Offensively, they struggled a lot last year, Robert. They averaged just over 11 points per contest, but they do have some key returners on both sides of the ball. I believe they have the most, if I'm not mistaken, out of any team in the 3A South, right? Returning on each side?
Yes, they do. And, when you look back at last year, they were really hoping to have Sean Taylor last year, who in my mind was the best athlete at North San Pete last season, last year, school year, had a great basketball and baseball season. But he had some freak injuries a couple years earlier that were non-football related, that were not even sport related. He had some accident injuries and decided that it would be best for him not to play football, just to not risk any of those things that recurring. And so he didn't play, and that hurt them last year. I think they were really banking on him. And then they had some injuries during the season that hurt them. Now, that were key injuries. Now, when I asked Coach Byrd about that this last week, his response was, yeah, we had some injuries, but we're not going to make excuses. We need to be better. Our execution needs to be better. And they've got Chance Clawson back at quarterback this year. They're really excited about him. I feel like his preparation coming into the season is very good. The way we had our coaches vote for the 3A South this year in our rankings before our media day, there ended up being a three-way tie for fourth between North Sanpete, Manti, and Richfield. And so, obviously, nobody's looking at North Sanpete this year in the South region saying, they're going to be a pushover, we're going to walk over them. They're banking on them being very good. They have shuffled some coaching duties around. Of course, Rhett Bird, his uncle is Dave Peck, the former Bingham High coach, had great success at Bingham, and they've kind of changed things up a little bit. They're going to have Dave move to the offensive side of the ball, and Rhett said that everybody views Dave as that defensive guru, because that's what he did at Bingham, but he was an offensive coordinator at Cypress for 6 years before that. And so he's got some great offensive background as well. And so he's going to kind of take over some of those offensive duties, the play-calling duties. And so we'll see how that makes a change as well for North Sanpete. They've got good size. North Sanpete always has good size. We'll see if they can utilize that this year with this team.
Robert Lovell again of Mid-Utah Radio. Robert, I want to talk to you about a couple of more things, but I do have to get out for a quick commercial break. Do you have time to hang around with us for one more segment?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's great. We have plenty more coming up with Robert Lovell. When we return, I want to talk about Friday's matchups because we have three teams from the north taking on three teams from the south. We get Carbon and Manti, Emory and Richfield, and Union and Summit Academy, and we'll talk about that when we return.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Beagles.
We're back for another segment with Robert Lovell of Mid-Utah Radio. Again, we're talking about high school football this Friday on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. You'll be able to listen to the Emory Spartans take on the Richfield Wildcats. It's a game that I'm sure Emory is they're anticipating it, to say the least. We've talked to Coach Famalo about that. On the flip side, our sister station KRPX will have Manti and Carbon. Kickoff for that game is set for 7 p.m. Robert, we have three games that will give us a look at the 3A North and the 3A South. I look forward to these games every year. To me, they're the most interesting of the non-region games for obvious reasons. We get Manti, Carbon, Emory, Richfield, Union, Summit Academy. Out of those three games, which one is most interesting to you?
Summit Academy Union, I think, is, to me, the most interesting, even though it's not a team that I cover, neither of them, and neither of them are a team that you cover as well, but at least extensively like Carbon and Emory. And the reason I say that is I thought Union was coming on strong. I like Coach Labrum. I think he's done a great job there. And they were fairly young. They've got a lot of kids coming back that are key players for that Union team. As I've mentioned, I already talked about Summit Academy last segment about how good I think they're going to be this year. But to me, in Roosevelt, that's a very intriguing game to begin the season, Summit Academy Union.
I agree with you, and I'll tell you why. You mentioned Union, okay, and we could talk about this team. Lincoln Labrum, as a sophomore, he was fantastic. Threw for over 2,000 yards, 24 touchdowns. This kid was the real deal. You take a look at some of the returners that they have offensively, some of the key returners that they have. It's eight total, and this is a team that averaged 30 points per game, and they can legitimately beat you through the air. Chase Burchell was fantastic last season for this team. He was second in receiving. He had a couple of great games, actually, against both Carbon and Emory. So when you take a look at what Coach Labrum is bringing back offensively, Union, to me, is that dark horse in the 3A North. I know a lot of people are talking about Morgan. Grantsville, I think, is going to be very good this year. But you can't overstate the fact that you have a stud quarterback coming back who had a phenomenal season as a sophomore. And I want your opinion on this as well, Robert. I've always felt that the biggest growth for an athlete is going to be between his sophomore and his junior year, not necessarily his junior and senior year. And that's what makes this interesting for me on Union.
I would agree with you if they're a varsity player as a sophomore. I think that's maybe the key caveat there is because if they're not, they're not getting that varsity experience, and I think you really need some of that before you can get some of that growth that you want to see. But Lincoln Labrum has had varsity experience in baseball and football, both of his first 2 years at Union, and yeah, he's a fantastic athlete, great player, and he's got some good size on him, and I think he's going to be a lot better. Much like I said with Easton Wright for JUAP, I think he's going to be a lot better this year, coming in as his junior season. Now I like what Lincoln Labrum is going to do. I think Coach Labrum, Matt Labrum, is a great coach as well, and so yeah, I think that's going to be a fun game to watch in Roosevelt. You know, I'd give the edge to Summit Academy, but I would not be at all surprised to see Union win that game.
Well, I think it really comes down to consistency, and that was a problem with Union last year. Anyone who watched a lot of Union football, one quarter you would see a team that looked like, hey, this is a team that could contend in the 3A. I mean, they look that good, but it was a quarter-to-quarter deal with this team, and that's based off youth, and that's where inconsistency comes from. It's all based off youth, and they don't have that this year. I mean, there are seven returners on the offensive side of the ball and eight returners on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, very true. I think it's going to be a really good team this year. And, you know, I made mention earlier last segment that the 3A South had three of the four teams in the semifinals. I do believe the 3A South was better last year than the 3A North. This year, I don't think that. In fact, I think the 3A North might be deeper this year, but I think it's a wide-open 3A, and I could see three or four teams from each region having a chance to win it all.
All right, well, let's talk about this depth, because we get Manti and Carbon. And in your guys' poll, you had, what was it, Manti, North St. Pete, and Richfield all tied for fourth. So, to me, again, front to back, we're talking about some parity there. Carbon this year, a team that hasn't won a game in 2 years. You'd have to go all the way back to 2004, Robert, to the last time this school won a region contest. That's kind of amazing to think about. But at the same time, this team is so much improved. And last year, I mean, the proof was in the pudding. If you take a look at what they were able to do, they had five games decided by 10 points or less. They had three games in region decided by 10 points or less. This is a team that is up and coming. While Manti, again, you're talking about it being down, I think we have a great matchup on our hands for week one between these two teams.
Yeah, I would agree. I think this is going to be a better matchup than we've seen the past several years between these two teams. And like you said, I like what Coach Huntsman's doing there at Carbon. I got the chance to talk to him a little bit at the All-Star football game as his staff coached the 3A All-Star team this summer at Snow College against the 1A 2A squad. And I think I like where they're going. They're heading in the right direction. And again, to me, the problem, though, for Carbon in this one is that you're getting a Manti team that you know is going to be ready to go. And we talked about that already with Coach Cole Meekum. He has his team prepared for every week. They are ready to go. Even if they're outmatched, they're ready to go. They're going to be ready for that game. And I like who they have. I like the momentum they have coming off of a good end of the football season, basketball and baseball. And so I like Manti in this game, but I do think this is going to be a much better game than we've had in the past several years.
Let's talk about Emory and Richfield, two teams that I know you and I are both very familiar with. We got to see these squads play not once but twice last year on the same field in Richfield. And honestly, Robert, they both were extremely entertaining games. And I was talking to Coach John Famalo throughout the entire summer. We go back about 2 months. We got him on the show and we were talking, and he said that the kids really have the Richfield game circled on their calendar, and rightfully so, with the few returners that they have this season, with the amount of juniors and seniors, the lack of amount of juniors and seniors that they have. They have that game circled, and for good reason. Both games were highly entertaining and highly competitive last year.
Yes, they were. 21-14 in week one, 21-7 in that playoff game, which we already talked about. But, I think it's going to be a good game, and I'm glad. I like it when kids have games circled in their calendars, and they don't just give us the coach-speak answer of, well, I'm looking forward to 1 week at a time, you know. I like it when they are ready to go, and they're pumped up for an opponent. And so I like that aspect for Emory. Richfield is hard for me to gauge right now. Coach Hitchens, again, he's got a great pedigree. He's won CIF state titles in California. He's coached at the big schools. And so he's got the pedigree. He hasn't coached in 7 years, though, for Richfield, or for in 7 years, period, because he decided to step away and spend time with family. Now he's decided to get back into coaching, wanted to come somewhere smaller and conservative, and Richfield's where he landed. And so he's got the pedigree. The question is he able to get it in place? School didn't end in California till the end of June, so he hasn't been here very long, hasn't been able to learn all about his players that he has, hasn't been able to install everything that you know he wants to install. And so Richfield, to me, they might have a slow start to the season, but I think they're going to be a dark horse later on in the year. But having said that, they didn't lose much off of last year's team. They lost a couple of key players, but they've got guys, as we already talked about, Emmett Hafen, in my mind, the best athlete in 3A. He's back. They've got guys like Jordan Anderson. Jordan Anderson was somebody that Coach Thorson was really high on. He really wanted to see what he was going to bring to the table these next 2 years. He's kind of got some off-field issues, but they think he's going to be a great player for them, and so his athleticism could be a key factor. And then they had a good line last year, a good size line, and they rotated a lot of guys in. They kind of platooned it, and so I think Richfield has the pieces to make a really good run. But again, it could be a slow start for them just because of the late coaching change and the fact that you know not everything's in place. And I would bet that after week one, after Emory, I bet you see several position changes as well for Richfield.
How is the coaching, the staff in general, how's the camaraderie been there? Is there a lot of new faces on the coaching staff front to back for Richfield?
No. Obviously, coming from Southern California, Coach Hitchens couldn't exactly bring his coaching staff with him, the coaches that he's coached before, because they're not here. And so he's a lot of the same guys are back. You know, guys like Nate Blackner, who was a key consistent for Coach Thorson, you know, he's going to be back and be one of those main assistants again this year. His son, Wyatt Blackner, had a great sophomore season last year for him defensively. He's one they're really looking at, again, as a key player. But other than that, other than the head coaching change, you know, and a couple of other minor changes, for the most part, the coaching staff is back as it has been under Coach Thorson.
Definitely looking forward to week one this Friday. I can't believe it's finally here. It seems it's just like yesterday we were talking about baseball, Robert, going back and forth on some updates between Grantsville and Carbon. But now we're here for football. I'm going to put you on the spot. As far as the 3A South goes, who do you like front to back?
My pick to win the 3A South is Summit Academy. I think Summit Academy gets the job done this year. In fact, I would pick them to win it all right now. I want to be able to change that pick when the playoffs start, but I think right now, before the season starts, even though they were picked to finish second in our coaches' poll for the 3A South, I think they're ready to take that next step this year and win it all.
See, and if I got a pick coming out of the 3A North, as it sits right now, I would probably have to go Morgan. I think it's going to be tight, though, up top. I really do. I like a lot of what Grantsville has coming back. We just talked about Union. I think Union is an X factor if we're talking about a region champion in the 3A North, because, Robert, I wouldn't want to play Union based on what they have coming back this year, based on what they can do offensively. And so I think Union is going to play a major role into whoever is the 3A North champion. If it's not Union, they may sneak up and beat someone, and that may be the determining factor in who actually has the best record coming out of the 3A North, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree. I you know, that 3A North to me is very intriguing with those three teams specifically at the top there. And it's one of those things where Morgan has just been so consistent every year. Coach Kobe Christiansen does such a good job. They've got incredible numbers too. I think they've got like 53 juniors playing football this year. Juniors, not just their whole team, juniors. And so they've got the numbers, they've got the support, and so it's hard to count out Morgan, but I agree, Union is very dangerous, as you mentioned, as we talked about already, with them facing Summit Academy in week one. And Grantsville, they lost some key players, key athletes in every sport from last year, but I think they're going to be back strong as well. But I would agree with you, at least from my perspective, not covering it as much as you do, Morgan's consistency and just what they bring to the table every week kind of gives them the edge to me.
It definitely does, especially when we take a look at a size perspective as well. I think that you're going to see a noticeable size difference, especially down on the trenches, when you see a Morgan squad go up against the likes of an Emory or a Corbin or a Union. You're going to see a big difference up in the trenches, and I think that's going to play a major role as well. So I like Morgan coming out of the 3A North as we sit right now. But I like you. Hey, I want an opportunity to change that pick once the playoffs start.
That's right. We'll look forward to the playoffs starting up. But first, we need week one this Friday. I know you're going to be covering some games, and we've got four games on our network over here in the other side of the mountain, so it should be a fun week one of the season.
Robert, go ahead and let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Of course, you can always go midutahradio.com is our website. We've got six radio stations in central Utah, two radio stations up north as well in Utah County and Heber City. But we cover 11 teams throughout central and south central Utah, primarily 2A and 3A. We do have Kanab in the 1A classification for football as well that we make sure to cover. But looking forward to a great season. You can also follow me on Twitter at RobertLevel3. You know, I don't tweet a whole lot, but when I do, it's pretty much score updates from the games that I'm covering. So should be a great season. And Jordan, as always, I do appreciate you inviting me on and talking about sports with you.
Absolutely. We'll do it again soon, Robert. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll get out for another quick commercial break. When we return, we're going to step away from the local sports front. Let's talk MMA. We haven't done that in a while. We'll bring in a great friend, Larry Pepe, to close out the show when we return right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to tonight's main event.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm excited for this next segment today. We're going to step away from basketball, football, baseball, the norm as of late here on the show, and we are going to talk UFC and MMA. And to do that, we always bring in a great friend of the show, Larry Pepe, who is an MMA expert and an analyst. Larry, first off, it's been far too long. Thank you so much for taking out the time to join us on the show today.
Pleasure's mine, Jordan. Happy to do it.
Well, there's been a lot going on since the last time we actually had you on the show in the UFC, and we're going to bounce around and talk about a couple of these key points. Right off of the bat, the biggest story, UFC 229, we get Khabib and the return of Conor McGregor. It's been a while since we've talked about McGregor in the octagon after the fight with Mayweather, and all the huff and the puff, everything that he's been doing outside of the octagon has been the big story around Conor. What's your initial reaction to this fight being announced on October 6th at T-Mobile Arena for UFC 229?
I mean, my initial reaction was I was surprised, quite frankly, because I didn't think that that Conor would be delusional enough to think he can beat Khabib Nurmagomedov, and apparently he is, as is those around him. Look, Conor is a great fighter in the stand-up realm, but he is not a very well-rounded mixed martial artist. When you look at his fight style, he has great movement. He has a great left hand, some decent kicks, nothing that has ended fights, but a good kicking game. But he has horrible wrestling, horrible grappling, horrible cardio, and Khabib Nurmagomedov is the exact opposite of Conor. So this sets up the classic striker versus grappler match, if you will, except the gap between Khabib on the feet and Conor on the feet is, let's call it on a scale of 1 to 10, a 5 or a 6, but the gap between them on the ground is the Grand Canyon, and I just don't see Conor landing the one shot that he will have to in order to win the fight. So I think Khabib is going to destroy him. I think he has a less than 5% chance of winning because he's got to cash that lottery ticket, land that one big shot, whether by punch or kick. And we've seen Khabib absorb punishment from other fighters, never been knocked down in his entire career, never lost a round, let alone a fight, in his entire career. And I don't expect it to go any differently on October 6th.
You know, it's interesting to me that McGregor, again, I echo what you were just saying about him stepping into the octagon against Khabib right off of the bat. I didn't know, Larry, if we would ever see him in the cage again.
And it's a valid question. You know, it's funny, Jordan, a couple, maybe I guess now what would be 18 months ago when the whole Mayweather thing was brewing, and then when it got signed, and then when it happened, I was doing Pro MMA Radio at that time, and I said on the show, you may never see him again. And I had people reach out to me and say, oh, you're nuts. Conor loves to fight, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know, none of us really know what it's like to wake up tomorrow morning and have $50 million or whatever insane amount of money he actually made from the Mayweather fight sitting in your bank account that wasn't in there the day before. And you don't know how that person is going to respond. And what we've seen from Conor, which I'm sure turbocharged your question as to whether we would ever see him again, is his behavior outside the cage has been unhinged. You look at the event in Bellator where he jumped over the cage and pushed the referee and interfered in a fight that wasn't even fully over. And he was out of his mind, and he looked like a man possessed. He slapped a Bellator official when they wouldn't let him come back in the cage to disrupt things a second time. You look at his behavior, there was rumors that he got in an altercation with a gangster in Ireland and people that you shouldn't be messing with. And then, of course, you look at what Dana White called at the time the most disgusting thing that's ever happened in UFC history, but of course they did nothing, when he picked up a steel dolly and threw it through a bus window, knowing that a dozen UFC fighters were sitting inside that bus with another dozen to 15 people as well, in complete disregard of those people's safety and their fight careers. Just days before a major event that had to get reshuffled completely, three fights were lost off that event because of his behavior. One fighter's face got all cut up. Another fighter had glass go into his cornea. And he was facing criminal charges in New York. And New York, my hometown, completely embarrassed themselves and gave him a whopping 5 days of community service and 1 to 3 days of anger management. And to be honest, Jordan, that is an embarrassment. It's a miscarriage of justice for someone to get that type of penalty when they acted in complete and sheer reckless disregard of the safety and well-being and careers of fellow fighters, let alone just fellow human beings. And then the UFC did nothing, as you would expect, absolutely nothing. So you see this escalating, enabled, unhinged behavior that will not stop because he has no reason to stop. He's getting every signal that he's above the law and he's above whatever the MMA law is. But retribution will be sought for all by one Khabib Nurmagomedov, and that is where I believe he will pay for his sins, if you will.
Again, we're being joined right now by MMA expert Larry Pepe here on the show. You know, Larry, this is kind of a little bit off the beaten path, but I'm a boxing guy. So as you're sitting there and you're going over everything that's happening with Conor McGregor, I can't but help instantly think about the latter stages of Mike Tyson's career. And I'm going back to the late 90s when he bit Evander Holyfield. We're talking about the Francois Botha era, the Louis Savarese era, as Mike Tyson was towards the end of his career, the Lennox Lewis ordeal in Memphis. You talk about Conor McGregor, and what you're saying I can directly correlate to a later stage Mike Tyson, and that's not a good thing.
It's not a good thing, and the crazy thing is this is a prime Conor McGregor. Like, he is in the peak of his career, perhaps. I mean, by the time he fights Khabib, it'll be 2 years since he's fought in MMA. But, of course, he had the Mayweather fight sprinkled in there. But I look at it like this, Jordan. I think, you know, you look at Conor in this case like a child, right? And, you know, you have kids, and if you let your child get away with this much, then the next day they go, let me try this. Let me go a step further because I got away with this yesterday. And if they keep getting away with it, the behavior will escalate. And in this case, I'm not calling Conor a child, although he's acting like one a lot, but the authorities, if you will, the people who should be reining him in, you would say first friends, family, people around him, because this is not good behavior. There's no universe in which any of this is good. But the UFC, the promotion, did nothing, absolutely nothing, for what they called the most disgusting thing that's ever happened in the history of the promotion. You look at the court in New York, the Brooklyn DA who embarrassed himself, and the judge who embarrassed themselves and did virtually nothing. So you're constantly sending signals to the athlete, whoever the athlete may be, in this case it's Conor, that they can keep escalating this behavior and it's okay because they've not been given any signal otherwise.
Larry, I am running out of time. I do want to get your thoughts on one more quick storyline floating around MMA. The idea of Anderson Silva and GSP going toe-to-toe in 2019. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know that it will happen. In fact, I don't think it will. And when we have more time, when I come on in the future, we can talk about Anderson Silva's reinstatement with a one-year penalty from USADA under the infamous tainted supplement defense. Said supplement, Jordan, coming out of a compounding pharmacy in Brazil. And I would invite your listeners to go online and Google compounding pharmacy. You can go to pharmacist.com. Compounding pharmacies, general, I've never heard of compounding pharmacies putting normal dietary supplements together. Normally what they do is they mix unique combinations of drugs or medications that doctors prescribe, but maybe there's an ingredient in the medication that a patient reacts poorly to, or it needs to be liquefied or flavored for a child, for example. That's generally what they do. Why Anderson Silva is the fourth Brazilian fighter to test positive under USADA to go to a compounding pharmacy for supplements is beyond me. And if you're a tested athlete who already has a failed drug test in his past, as Anderson does, why you would risk to get dietary supplements that you can go to Amazon or your local GNC or insert name here and purchase, why you would risk going to a compounding pharmacy for over-the-counter type supplementation is a mystery to me. It makes no sense to me. And as you know from our prior chats, I am not a fan of USADA. I do not think they do a good job. And now we have another exhibit that we can add to the list.
Larry Pepe, MMA expert, always kind enough to take the time to join us on the show. Larry, before I let you go, please let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Absolutely. I would say two things. One, on Twitter, you can go to @LarryPepe, last four letters, P-E-P-E. And I would invite your listeners to go to pepperadio.com, and they can just sign up by putting their email and their first name, and any appearances or episodes or shows that I do, they'll get a direct email rather than having to rely on social media, and it will give them the link right in their email box. We don't do any spam. We don't share anything. It is solely to keep touch with me and the things that I do.
Larry, always a pleasure. Can't wait to do it again. Thank you for the time.
Sounds great, Jordan.
Again, that's Larry Pepe talking some MMA here on the show. It's been a while since we've gotten his perspective. We are out of time on the show today. Like I said, it was a packed one. I want to thank Robert Lovell and also Larry Pepe for taking out the time to join us. For Travis Anderson, I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We are out.
Serving all of Eastern Utah, this is News Talk 107.3 FM and 750 AM. KOAL. Price.